Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Celtic Story is a smash hit theatre production that charts the unique history of the famous Celtic Football Club. First performed in 1988 as part of the iconic club's centenary celebrations, it returns to the stage with a brand new song penned specially for the show. Celtic did it first. The Celtic Story, from August 31st till September 16th at Glasgow's SEC Armadillo.
The famous Glasgow Celtic did it first.
Tickets available at ticketmaster.co.uk.
Start at 40.
50.
Right, okay, we'll go again. Trigger warning. Some Celtic players are going to get harmed in the making of this podcast. This is 20 Minute Tims. Hey, before we begin, patreon.com/20minutetims is the place you can support this podcast, get extra podcasts, extra videos, extra writing. There's a massive week. Transfer windows, transfers, the Rangers game, the Champions League draw, it's all happening and we're going to have it fully covered on patreon.com/20minutetims. But before all that, before we earn the right to do all that, Stephen Melly, I guess we need to do things like, I don't know, beat St Johnston?
Yeah, that would be a start, wouldn't it? It would be a start to the season. Yes, another fairly wet performance on Saturday was that. It seemed all set up. Rebound from our exit from the cup, a nice wee home game against bottom of the league, St Johnston. Haven't scored a goal yet in the league. Recently trounced off Stirling Albion, I think it was, 4-0 or something. The stage was set. Celtic, go, take to the stage in front of your adoring fans, well, temporarily. A bit of a damp squid, as we like to say on this podcast. A bit of a letdown. Not good enough performance at all. We'll get into all of it, but my overall feelings on the game itself is I was all set to kind of come on here and think, well, yeah, maybe we need to calm down a wee bit. Maybe we need to just let the season ease in. Just let things happen the way they will naturally. We'll get players in this week. We will bounce back, as I said, from the cup exit. And then we go and serve that up at home. I think it's starting to feel like a bit of a shaky start to the season, to say the least.
Melly, from Ange Ball to Bland Ball, I think you guys said that on the Reaction podcast and I felt the same watching it. Boring. My boy, what have you done to my boy? That's what I was thinking watching that Celtic team from the fast-flowing, relentless nature of the majority of Ange's stuff, obviously, towards the end of the season, maybe it went a bit crap last season. Yeah. It's worth noting that. To what was served up at the weekend again, and as Stephen says, everyone was thinking, right, Parkhead, we can bounce back now. Remember, you and I did the reaction to the Ross County game, first game of the season, and I says, this looks like a team in transition. At that time, I says, this doesn't look like a team that have just won the treble, busting out the gates under a new manager in a new season, their first home game flag day. I thought, this is just lacking something. And we've never kicked into gear.
No, we haven't. We're still waiting for it yet. I think it's a culmination of everything. It just doesn't quite seem Celtic yet, does it? It doesn't feel like the season's kicked off. We don't have that performance. But the performance of the weekend was really poor. I'm not going to deny that. But I still think, look, under Ange, we were poor at the start. Under Neil Lennon, we were poor at the start. This happens at the start of a managerial reign. But it has to get better quickly. It has to get better quickly. And I'm not defending that performance because while we do have bad performances at the start of managerial reigns, have a St Johnstone at home, a very poor St Johnstone, and we should have done much better. We have to be quicker in everything, but when the manager's coming out and saying we need to be quicker, why is it not happening?
Well, that is a question, right? And it's a very pertinent question. There are more questions to be asked, because I agree with what you've said there about managers somehow, or sometimes starting slowly, and it doesn't always click straight away. But might I remind everyone, we have gone from, in 6 weeks' time, we've gone from celebrating the fact that Brendan Rodgers is coming into Celtic as the manager in the strongest position of any manager we've seen in our lifetimes, taking over a treble winning team, a team busting with talent, winning. I mean, look, the end of last season wasn't the greatest. It wasn't the peak of quote unquote Ange ball. But see, between, I think it was drawn to each with Rangers and losing to them, we'd won something like 17 games in a row or something like that. There was maybe a draw in there, a one each draw in there as well. But we were winning games relentlessly last season. So we've gone from that. We've gone from thinking we need to push on from a position of strength. 6 weeks on, we're making excuses about, but you know, managers sometimes start slow, and we need five signings in this week, or basically our title defence is going to be completely derailed. Though that's the situation. So why have we found ourselves in this?
I think it's quite good to accept that, because there's no Dubai over the fact that we're crap right now.
We have to
then take it one step further and go, well, why are we crap? And when you watch that game against St Johnstone, I know what you're saying, Melly, new managers take time to adjust. Ange took time to adjust. But I think the difference was with Ange, you could see what he was trying to do. The difficulty I've got with Brendan here is everyone just looks terrible. And I think, and I don't necessarily think that's Brendan's fault.
No. From this game, I think it was a bit more clearer what Celtic are trying to do. And in parts, the first half and then the start of the second half, I could kind of see what they were trying to do. We do build up a wee bit differently when we play the two centre-halves. And then in front of that, there's three again. But the fullbacks are wider, and then we try and get it to the wide players, and then it's a sort of round the corner to one of the guys on running. I could see it happening, but the players doing it just aren't up to it. They quite simply aren't up to it. And while I'm looking at this Celtic team and going, what has happened to the team of last season? This isn't the team of last season. There's so many players in there who probably shouldn't be at the club, who are coming on trying to affect games.
More on that to come, probably. Yeah.
And these are the guys that we thought we should improve on next year. Like, I'm looking at it and going, would Ange Postecoglou, probably would have won that game, but would have struggled without Hatate, Carter Vickers, Starfelt, Jota. When you look back to the results last season, I think every time we dropped points, Jota played in all but one of those games. So we've got the creativity taken out of us, we've got the rock at the back taken out of us, we've got the new signing at the back taken out of us, but I'm still looking for more from the guys that are there. Guys that have been there and probably done it, but they just look done now.
But it's St Johnstone is what it always comes down to. You know, I do accept it when you're trying to get new players to do something. So I'll save what I was going to say for a bit, because I don't want to completely change it, but there is an element, Stephen, of you're looking at it going, right, oh, that's all very well and good, but we're Celtic, they're St Johnstone, they're having a terrible, terrible time of it, and the players on the pitch need to take more responsibility for how bad some of them were.
Yeah, well, copy and paste from last week. What I said last week about the Kilmarnock game was, yes, we are in fairly dire need of signings, but that has only become apparent because of how Celtic are playing. It didn't feel like that, as I said 6 weeks ago. It didn't feel like we needed this massive overhaul and massive injection of
not
quality.
Not to us it didn't, but I suspect it might have been the manager.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely fine, but we've gone from that, and we just can't score goals now. And what I said was that, yes, we do need signings, but I refuse to believe, and I reject this as a reason that we can't beat St Johnstone as well, that we needed to go out and sign five bits of genuine quality that improve the first team, spending 30, 40 million quid, that war chest we spoke about at the start of the summer. We didn't have to do that to score a goal at home to St Johnstone. I flatly reject that. I understand that it would have improved our chances of winning that game, but let's take a step back and think, wait a minute here. This is Celtic at home to the bottom of the league, and we're failing to create. Well, Matt O'Reilly missed a couple of chances, but other than that, we seem to run out of ideas after about an hour.
Because you're not asking Greg Taylor to play in goal. You're not asking Joe Hart to play centre forward. You're not asking Callum McGregor to be a right wing. The mechanics of what you're asking the players to do, it might change in game, but you're still asking them to be Celtic players. I think what we've seen the last couple of weeks, I think, and it's I'm not starting any great conspiracy theory. I mean, everybody's got their favourite boogeyman at Celtic, but yeah. I think what we are seeing at Celtic right now is a manager has come in with a new plan, and the players are struggling to carry that plan through. I think that's one thing. And the problem is Brendan would have come in, and looked at the squad within a couple of weeks, I'm convinced of it, would have said to the board, right, I need five players. I need a left back, I need a winger, probably need a centre forward because Owe and Kyogo, I'm not too happy there. Probably need a central midfielder, I would like a goalkeeper, and I would like, take your pick, a Jota replacement, for example, right? Then it's their job to go ahead and do it. Now, we're now entering the last window, and I think we could all sit here and agree, apart from centre forward, every key position at the club still needs addressed. That's a choice we are making, right? And you can weigh up the pros and cons of that choice. But right now, as fans, we are sitting here, we're losing at home to St Johnson. Sorry, we're drawing to St Johnson. We're losing to Killeen, we're out the cup. So we're already one tournament down from last season. The fan expectation that you're talking about 6 weeks ago was make a mark in Europe. Now it's like, scanning the pot three teams to see who's the crappiest so we don't get... We've got a game against Rangers coming up. We were sat on this podcast not so long ago going, yes, Brendan Rodgers, game over for Rangers. And now that we're sitting here staring down the barrel of hopefully maybe no getting the players in, let's touch wood, hopefully we do get them in. We're now, we don't want to watch it. We'll watch that from behind the sofa. It's like the last 6 weeks, it's just like they've just kicked all enthusiasm out of what we had going for this for the team and for under Brendan. I think that's what's got to me. It's just there's no difficult. Go and sign players, go and buy players, go and get the manager the tools he needs. And Brendan's made it clear, and Ange made it clear as well last, you know, when Ange first came in, it was struggling to click for him, Melian. What was it, October before he won his first away game or something?
Yeah, we played Aberdeen on the 2nd or 3rd of October. It was eight games or something, maybe more into the season, and look, we'd lost our first three games. We think we were drawn at Dundee United at home, so it wasn't plain sailing.
And what was Andrew's complaint about transfers at that time?
Taking too long.
It's the same. It's almost like for like you've got a manager trying to implement a new style on a group of players, wanting players in that can specifically follow his instructions, dropping points along the way and putting in poor performances. Meanwhile, the transfers are taking too long. It's Ange season one for me, Brendan season one. There's so many parallels here.
Yeah, there is. And again, we're kind of stuck here because we're saying, look, Brendan Rodgers is a good manager. Yes, he is. But you're bringing him in, there's fanfare, but there's also fans who are really sceptical about this move. And I completely understand that. But what you have to do then is get people on board and say, look, see if he's here, let's give him all the tools. And see if he fails, then he fails. Mm. But now we're caught in between this. We're leaving it late and we're thinking, oh, is it bigger deals? But the further it gets down the line, the closer it gets to the deadline. Celtic haven't changed their approach in the transfer market. No. We're still going for the same players in the 2 to 6-7 million pound bracket. We haven't even got that far. So Brendan Rodgers coming back hasn't changed the kind of players Celtic are bringing in, because the winger we're bringing in this week is what, 3.5-4 million pound. Mm-hmm. So what's changed here? Pretty much nothing. So go and get him the guys he wants. Go and get him guys in that budget to go and get him. Because if we are thinking we're going to go out and buy a left back for 6-8 million, then another wide player, we're getting Palmer. Then we're going to go and get a goalkeeper. Then we're going to get a midfielder. We're not going to be spending more than 4 million probably the rest of the window. So why can we not go and get these players for him? Again, you're putting the manager on the back foot. And when the game ended the other day, it wasn't the boos aimed at ending Brendan Rodgers again. It was boos aimed at the board where I was sitting. The board were copping it stinking. Why do they do this to themselves?
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. I think we've had this conversation before about how Rangers do transfer business, and people will be screaming saying, ah, but they players are crap. And that's fine. You can think what you want, but I am of the opinion that if we went down and signed Chelsea's reserve right back or we'd be going no bad. On paper, if we brought in Dessers or signed £6 million for a striker for Feyenoord, we'd go, oh, that's decent business on paper. So to me, players of that calibre are not unavailable early in the window. Palmer was sat down in front of Michael Beale in May. Now Michael Beale, for whatever reason, you can believe him if you want or you don't want to, he decided he didn't want to sign him, he didn't like Palmer's attitude. Maybe Palmer turned up in a Celtic shirt and Beale went, I can't work with this guy. But it's a mystery to me why Celtic do this every year, and we've been caught on this. We've been caught napping on the early competitions before. It just so happened before it was the Champions League. Now it's the League Cup.
Yeah. Well, we're convincing ourselves we're waiting on these big deals that you were speaking about, but it's come apart.
You
that's
specifically,
not the case.
Aye, well, I think my position.
It's on you, son.
Yeah, my position on it was that I was willing to be quite patient about it because the bigger deals probably take longer. Mm. Players have got options and all that. But as we sit here now, this is Monday night. The window slams shut on Friday night. If anyone thinks we're going to go out and spend 7 million five times, as you said, between now and Friday, absurd. It's complete. It's never going to happen.
I still think we might do it, right? And but even if we do do it, my point is, so say we sign five players at £7 million, right, which is fantasy land stuff at this point, but it's not out of the realms of possibility because one, Brendan wants them, two, the money's there. So I don't see any reason why not. But we're already out of the League Cup and we've already drawn at St. Johnstone, and we're going to throw, what, five guys or four guys in our debut against Rangers. You know, it's like, you should be, the season has started and you should be prepared. And okay, you might pick up one or two deadline day signings, but a new man, if this was not Brendan Rodgers, if this was Pochettino, for talking sake, if we landed some other manager that didn't have a history with the club, I honestly think it would be unthinkable that we would be dragging these out because he'd be doing what Ange's doing.
I don't, mate, because we've done it with Ange. It's not a new thing, is it?
But Ange corrected it, didn't he? Ange moaned about it and then things sort of speeded up a little bit after that. Now we've went, it's like everyone's relaxed, Ange's gone. It's like everyone's like, oh, thank God he's not here. We can take our time now.
Daddy's out. Daddy's gone. We can misbehave again. It's disappointing. As I said, I was quite patient with it, but that's because I thought big things were coming. And even if they do at this late juncture, damage has already been done to the season. You know, irreparable damage in the form of the cup and temporary damage. And I mean, a draw at home, a pretty limp draw at home to St. Johnstone isn't the end of the world. But off the back of the St. Johnstone game, and in my opinion, off the back of the Kilmarnock game, and in my opinion, Celtic haven't really turned in a properly good performance at all this season. The first two wins were wins, but they weren't great. So we've gotten to this point in the transfer window, but we've left it terribly late again. I think we're just going to be running around on Friday looking for loans. We'll get a loan in from, I don't know, like...
Steven, don't say things like that.
Burnley or something like that. I've no insight. I've just made that up off the top of my head there, by the way. But I can imagine we get a couple of players in between now and Friday, and then... We'll all be still watching the telly at 11 o'clock on Friday night, waiting for something to come out of Celtic. And then we'll all run to the transfer mark free agents list where we're picking out Sergio Ramos. What's it going to take to get him? And we'll all be running about panicking. So it's a bizarre situation for us to be in. I was being patient because I thought Celtic were in a great position. We've got great players. We've got a great manager back and all that. And we got a couple of comments on Twitter. I used were being dead positive about Brendan Rodgers coming back.
I don't think this is Brendan's fault.
No, but things have changed since then. It's not Brendan Rodgers' fault. I don't think at all. Well, we can blame him to a degree with the performances that are happening because he ultimately carries the cannon. As big as a cliche that is, the manager is, you know, sort of responsible for the performances. I will say that Celtic are currently in the midst of what I would term an injury crisis at the moment. I think the defence is very, very poor because it's been severely hit by injuries. I don't know how any club can deal with that right enough, but at the same time, it's not really been the major problem. We've only conceded one goal in these two poor performances. It's creating goals.
I suppose this is what it comes down to again, right? So when did we get news that Carter and Vicar and Yarovsky were injured?
Last week.
Almost a week ago we found out they were injured for, and now we know it's 2 months, but Celtic obviously knew that before. So, but we don't have a centre-half in yet.
No.
But Stephen, why? We've got the money. We've got agents. We've got contacts. We know there's centre-halves. So go out and get one.
Yeah.
Go out and buy one, because what we're going to do, bring him in deadline day and throw him in against Rangers. To me, it's just like an unpreparedness. And I know Brendan has been very positive about the transfer system, about, you know, all the hard work we've put in place. And I don't think it's a contradiction to say that transfer business isn't just one department. Do you know, there'll be the scouting team who will have identified the players, who create the player lists, who populate these lists, who speak to the agents and stay in touch with them and all that sort of thing, and present players. So when Brendan goes, I imagine what happens is Brendan sits down at the beginning of the season. He says he's seen every Celtic game, right? So if we take Brendan, you're laughing, right? But take that at his word, right? Take that at his word. Or you have to take the man at face value. So he said, I've watched a lot of Celtic, right? He sits down at the beginning of the season and he'll talk to John Kennedy, I expect, and John Kennedy will go, look, we were a bit worried about these positions last season. We'll see what you think over the next couple of weeks. 3 weeks in, Brendan goes to the scouting team going, look, I really need you to find me a left back. I need you to find me a centre mid, all the positions we speak about. Presumably then they come back with the guys. Brendan says, okay, I like the look of him. Then it's someone else's job to go and make it happen. And I think at that point, when it comes to paying the bills, I think at that point it's people going, let's see if we can eke this out a wee bit. Let's see if we can stretch out a wee bit longer.
Yeah, it's disappointing because we thought we'd turn the corner with it, didn't we? Bringing in Alistair Johnson before Juranovic had gone. They were bringing O before Jackie Marcus had even gone as well. So we thought we were on the right track. But look, see, if Brendan Rodgers had came in, people were happy about it, people are sceptical about it, that's fine. But see if we had went and addressed the positions, right, Jota's away, Starfelt's going, we brought in centre-halves, that's fair enough. But if we had went out and got a left-back, another winger, and what are you looking at, maybe a keeper or a centre-mid, and Celtic were going into this season, Brendan Rodgers going, maybe one more in, if we had looked prepared, because if we had a couple more players right now, like if we had the winger, if we had a left-back, things might be all right, because we'd be winning games, but you take... these players aren't here, and then you take the quality out of the team, you're looking about going, why the hell are we bringing on Bernabe to try and change a game as our fifth
James
sub?
Forrest?
And that's the problem. I know in the past, if you look at Ange Postecoglou, and I keep comparing them because it was a transition, but Celtic looked to be in a club that's always going to be in transition now. That's that's just the way football is for us, the way we are in the food chain. So be prepared for it. Like Ange Postecoglou's first season, you can rhyme them off. Luke Shaw, Montgomery, Ayeti, Bain.
Oh, it was Luke Shaw.
Liam Shaw, Scales, Mikey Johnson, Owen Moffat, Ewan Henderson, all these guys, Urigidi, all playing because out of necessity, but it settled down once we got into October. But you're looking at Celtic now, we'll get past all that.
We had a good squad. I mean, you guys watch a lot more English football than me. Does this happen in England? Does this, because even though they've got more money to spend, they've got the money to do it, so it kind of balances itself out. I just never seem to see other stories of clubs having to do, in effect, all, well, now that we need another centre-half again, all of our transfer business he's done the last week.
Well, look, things scale up and down, right? I'm not directly comparing the two teams because of the difference in resources, but if you are to imagine, if you like, that Celtic are the Man City, the current Man City of Scotland, both treble-winning teams, both different types of trebles, but they both come into this season. Imagine Man City were in this position just now. They'd started the season abysmally. They'd lost a couple of players. They were running around. They were playing guys from like 5 years ago, playing their equivalent of whoever David Turnbull is and James Forrest and all that to try and
Stephen
get...
Stephen Ireland.
Ilano. Martin Petrov, do you remember? Yeah. Rocky Santa Cruz, there's another one. Anyone get any more? Shall we move on?
Samara?
Samaras, it's good this, and we even though we're just listing Man City players
Sean
from the
Wright
past.
Phillips.
Sean Wright Phillips, yes, that's great. Anyway, but can you imagine them in this position? And again, I feel people about to say to me, aye, but they've got loads of money. I'm not saying Celtic are going to be the same.
Yeah, for every 10 million they spend, we spend one.
Aye, like if you scale it up and down, we should be in the position where we can build from a position of strength. That's all we ask, really. Because again, as I said earlier, how we opened this was we were all sitting here 6 weeks ago, full of life and full of optimism that Celtic were in a great position to build on. All we need is a couple of key players in key positions. We weren't necessarily expecting to lose the likes of Jota and Starfelt, but we should be in a position where we can roll with that somewhat and keep the train rolling, because we're actually lucky that we got Lagerbielke in the position we did, or at the time in the window we did, because what would we have done had that been dragging on as well? Mm. What would we have done in that game? Liam Scales and Iwata at the back? Unthinkable. Probably would have lost the game if that was the case. So I don't know why we're in this position just now. There are a lot of questions to be asked, and a lot of questions that will maybe be put on the back burner until after the window is closed, so we can look at it as a whole. But I don't know how we've managed to go from such optimism with a good manager in place and good players to...
We need
repair to the season already, and we need five bits of genuine quality to get a game won domestically.
Well, I'm going to go back to the game itself, but we've sort of found ourselves talking about the transfers here. But I would be amazed if Brendan was happy with the time things are taking. He's not going to say it publicly, because I think that's a real hot button. You know, that's the nuclear code. If Brendan Rodgers starts moaning about transfers again, then all of a sudden we are sitting here going, no, this again, man. You know, that's, you want to try and avoid that as best you can.
He can't do that for himself as well. If he did that and threw the club under the proverbial bus in that way, he can't do that for his own reputation as well, because he's come back into that would be like he's come into exactly the same thing that he walked away from all those years ago. So that doesn't put anyone in a particularly good light if he was to do that at this point. There's already... There was always going to be, because certain people were quite vocal about not wanting Brendan Rodgers back at the club, and that has spilled over now into boos at the end of the game. Now, again, a lot of it will be aimed at the board, but there were people who stayed behind and made sure that they booed straight to Brendan Rodgers' face after the game. We've all seen the video that's doing the rounds. I'm not criticising that. I said at the time, see when Brendan Rodgers was confirmed as a Celtic manager for the second time, I said anyone is free to do that if they like, because it's that contentious a subject. I'm not going to protest against that protest, because everyone has that right. Such was the depth of the ill feeling at the time. But what I also said was I would prefer it not to manifest itself in the stadium. See, if you want to stick out tweets about how, you know, always a fraud and all that kind of stuff, I don't mind that. But I prefer it this early in the season. I don't think it's quite at the to the car park stage just yet, because it's still early doors. I'm not happy with the performances either. It has been crap. Let's not sugarcoat it in any way. But I would prefer if it wasn't quite so...
Get the
quite
booze
so
in.
Obvious, yeah.
I would get the booze in just to keep the pressure on. Keep the pressure on everybody involved. I think it's... I saw the sort of video you're talking about when they were doing like the parade. What is this thing we do at the end of the game?
Thanking the fans, yeah.
I know. I mean, I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, they should just scrap that anyway. And to be honest, I'm pretty convinced we probably should. I mean, I don't really know why we do it, but I saw it.
Could be somebody's first game that's come over for miles away, man.
Oh, right, okay, cool. We do it for... The guy who came for his first game
just because you get to go every week, but it's a sort of privilege. But there's fans there that only get there once a season, once a lifetime. Mm. There's kids there going to the first game.
Well, I'm there. Well, my opinion is more important. I go every week and I get to have a wee moan about it.
That kid may have gone for the very first time, all excited.
And he served up that.
Yeah, and that kid, he or she gets the opportunity to boo right in Brendan Rodgers' face. How can you take that away from him?
Yeah, paid his money, he can boo.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Public service announcement. Attention all my bearded troops out there from stubble to mane. If you didn't already know, Manscaped now sells beard products. You heard that correctly. The leaders in below-the-waist grooming changed the game with their Beard Hedger Pro Kit. And now they're going a step further with their brand new Handyman, an electric face shaver for quick and convenient way to achieve a clean shaven look. Whether you're going to sharpen up your neckline or give your face a smooth finish, the Handyman has got you covered. Go to manscaped.com and use code TIMS for 20% off and free shipping. It's time to go from 5 o'clock shady, yeah baby,
No one likes a weird beard, so say goodbye to all your stubble trouble with Manscaped's Beard Hedger. The Beard Hedger is a high-tech piece of art in a travel-sized package with a long-lasting battery, universal charging, and a strong motor. Your face is your first impression, and your beard is your most important accessory. So make sure you have the right tool for the job with the Beard Hedger. Looking for something, dare I say, smoother? Look no further than Manscaped's new Handyman Face Shaver.
Hey, Stephen.
Yes, Jamie.
You've got a travel size package. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TIMS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use the code TIMS. Hit the refresh button with Manscaped. The transfers, we've kind of said, look, we need to get the players in. But you said earlier on that we should be winning those games. Brendan Rodgers said after it, he goes, well, interestingly, he said after the Kilmarnock game, someone asked him, do you need a bit more time to get your system and your players indoctrinated into your system? And he went, nope. Had enough time, we've had the pre-season, they should all be familiar with the roles. Fast forward a week, another poor result, this time against St Johnstone, and Brendan Rodgers says they lack personality. The players lack personality.
That's a dig.
Well, yeah. It is. Yeah. I mean, some might say he's addressing directly that to David Turnbull. For me, I can't quite put my finger on what's wrong. I can understand, you know, managers try to get a new system, players are still trying to get to grips with it. I think ultimately, though, it just comes down to far too many players that shouldn't be playing for Celtic anymore. And I think the reason these players were looking better than they were was because Ange was the secret sauce. We had a brilliant manager there who was getting 150% out of these players whenever they played. But now we've got Brendan Rodgers in, complicating things a lot with a new system, complicating it with different instructions. But these players have kind of reverted to type a wee bit. So we're looking at David Turnbull. Indefensible anymore for me, David Turnbull. You said earlier on, Burnaby, James Forrest has become almost a meme in this podcast. But the fact of the matter is, we should not be bringing a guy on to save a game. We had his testimonial a couple of weeks ago. That's bonkers to me. Absolute bonkers. Stephen Welsh.
Didn't even play. Come on. Keep
oh, sorry. Not Stephen. Yeah. That's what I'm angry
Stephen Welsh. The guy's ankles are a strap.
Somebody said in the Discord earlier on, I can't wait for the scatter gun to come out. There we go.
That 50 cent meme. What do you say fuck me for?
Not Stephen Welsh. Liam Scales is who I'm flicking up. Liam Scales, man. Everybody knows Liam Scales is not good enough to play for Celtic. I know he's playing out of this absolute necessity, but that should be enough's enough. Some of these guys are terrible, man.
Yeah, and that's why I mentioned all that list of names of guys that played for Celtic under Ange, and then you're lucky if they made 5 appearances the rest of the season. Things will settle down. Things will hopefully get back to normal. But while I'm looking at it right now, I'm going, right, okay, Brendan Rodgers has maybe come in and changed things, but he's not taken away players' footballing ability, and that's down to the players. And look, I'm not.
So what went wrong then?
I'm not giving Brendan Rodgers a free pass, but as I said, I could kind of see what he was doing, but the execution of it is absolutely abysmal. From Liam Scales having 10 touches on a ball before moving it, looking like he's not got a clue what he's doing. I'll give Alistair Johnston a pass because it's his first game back and he was flung in, but he got to the byline a good couple of times and cut it back. I thought, oh, I can see what he's doing here. We got the ball to our wide players, put it round the corner and got beyond St Johnston. So I think it will work. It will fall into place if you shove in a fully fit Alistair Johnston, if you shove in one of the centre-halves, Carter Vickers, and when you shove in Hatate and Tilio and Palmer, I think Celtic win that game comfortably. But what I'm not happy with is the execution of the players. There's no excuse for the coming on in a game and Burnaby just launching passes down the line and then cutting across the box and toe-poking it across the box to absolutely nobody. James Forrest again coming on, just doing nothing, absolutely nothing. Then he gets a chance with a clear header, puts it over. Abada, hide-and-seek champion, learning off the best in Forrest. David Turnbull, look, mate, you've got a left foot, use it. There's so many players, like you said, shouldn't be there. And when players come back, when players come in, they won't be there. But that doesn't excuse the way they're playing. Greg Taylor, Callum McGregor, simple things. Matt O'Reilly, I thought, was the best player for Celtic. But you have to take some of those chances. 4 good chances, 2 of them, you just have to score. He was passing it back to the keeper as if it was just putting it in an empty net. You have to make sure of these. And if he takes one of those chances, I think Celtic go on to win the game comfortably and can maybe grow into things, but it's just not falling for us now. But that's down to the players. I don't care if Ange's left and the new manager's come in and put a new system in. you can still do your footballing ability, and there's so many players not doing that right now. Dyson Maeda cutting inside and skying one miles over. The excuses aren't they good enough for me. I don't care if a manager's come in and told you to do something different. You go out and do it to your best of your ability, and they're not doing that.
Quite interesting from Maeda, though, because we've sort of had question marks over Maeda, and the thing Melly's talking about was absolutely unforgivable.
Although, is that a left foot shot where he had to shot into the Green Brigade? Aye, you'll boo.
People, you know, I'm falling at that football cliche where people go, that's absolutely unforgivable, right? But I feel like you see that sort of thing in football all the time, where you've cut across the box, it kind of sits up nice, but before you know it, you're off balance.
It's just because it's a 0-0 against St Johnstone.
It swiped away. So, you know, you're thinking to yourself, someone needs to get a goal here. Maeda midweek was saying, you know, he was, Ange's style was very, very baked into the way Maeda tries to play, and he's trying to sort of change the way he plays and get used to and adapt to Brendan Rodgers' style, which is fair enough, but there are questions over the way Maeda's been performing, especially with Maeda in a bad order. Melly's highlighted it plenty of times in the podcast. We've spoken about it. But there are some of these players, Stephen, that I put out the tweet at the end of the game. That was, we finished the game with half a team of guys that shouldn't be playing for Celtic anymore. And you really get the look of that. David Turnbull, for me, is one of the most infuriating players I've ever seen. And I think you're allowed to pick on David Turnbull a wee bit more, because when he and Hatate have both been fit, Brendan has opted to pick David Turnbull. Now, I know Hatate's injured now, but obviously Brendan sees enough in him to make that decision. It's something I certainly don't see.
No, the team, there's no doubt the team is littered with absolute duds just now. That teams or players that don't deserve it to be at Celtic at all.
But we knew all these guys weren't good enough at the end of last season as well, didn't we?
That's my problem. My problem is the length of time it takes Celtic to get rid of these guys. And
transfers
still
again.
It's the transfers again. Look, I don't mind signing these players. I'm always positive about bringing these guys to the club. And you can call them projects, call them prospects, whatever it is you want. And regardless of the fee as well, people say that for 4.5 million Bernabe should be better, and I broadly agree with that as well, but I still don't mind just taking a chance on these players, because something has made them stand out and something has brought them to the club, and for whatever reason it just hasn't worked out for them.
See,
it's the
thing
length
with
of time.
Bernabe now, but I can't see what it is.
No.
And for all we can praise Ange and say, oh, I wish Ange was back, that's a stinking signing. That's up there with one of the worst Celtic signings I've ever seen, because he's offered nothing bar
a
goal.
No.
An absolute dud. And if Ange brought him in, where does he fit in your system? Because he clearly didn't, and now we're playing our fullbacks a bit differently. Doesn't he fit into that either, which means he's not a good player?
Well, maybe Bernabe was in the kind of Jackie Mackis mould, in that he is so completely different to the first choice that he's worth having around if it works out for him. For whatever reason, that X factor, and Ange was talking about this, he was talking about East Asian players as his role at Spurs. He was talking to the English media about it. He mentioned specifically seeing things in players that others don't, and I suppose with that comes risk. It comes with probably great risk, because there is a reason.
Big £4 million risk.
Exactly. But for whatever reason, these players have been passed up by other people. Rio Hatate has got to 25 and he's still playing at the level he was, which is good in Japan, but he hadn't been picked up by anyone in Germany or England or anything like that.
Do you know what I think it is, honestly, and I was thinking about this midweek, I think the reason that you're seeing a slight difference in the transfer business is you need an in sometimes, don't you? You need an in. You don't just go to South America and say, hey, I've got 7 million or 5 million or 12 million pounds. Give me your next hot prospect. Don't just, you know, because these deals are done all the time. So when you end up with a player, and as I was relating this specifically to Bernabe, when you end up with a player like Bernabe, you kind of have to ask, how did we end up with him? You know, how are we going to, was it Argentina we bought him from? We bought him from South America. We bought him from Argentina. How do we end up with the next hot pro? How do we end up with this guy who's supposedly something? Because he's turned out to be a complete dud. And the Ange thing obviously got us some contacts in Japan, but they weren't always good either. We've got Kobayashi here, who looks as if he's never going to kick a ball for Celtic. We've got Idiguchi here, who looks like he's never going to kick a ball for Celtic. We've got Iwata, who's honestly really ruined the fact that was an option to buy, because nothing would have suited him better than 6 months here. Ange leaves and he gets to go back to Japan. That was player of the year.
Well, Idiguchi is a good example of what
he was
talking
their player
about.
Of the year, to clarify it. Iwata was their player of the year when we bought him.
Who knows where he is now? Because again, he's 26, 27 years old and just sort of floating about, getting absolutely 0 minutes at Celtic whatsoever. But that's probably a discussion for another time after the window's closed. But guys like Idiguchi, who came it was kind of known that he was a bit of a gamble, yep, and that it hadn't worked out for him in Europe before. But Ange probably saw something in him, decided to take the gamble, brought him in, didn't work out. So going back to the point I kind of got away from there was that I don't mind Celtic doing that, right? I don't mind Celtic taking risks because sometimes the reward can be huge. Look at Hatate, the example there. Even Maeda, who isn't everyone's cup of tea, but he has contributed massively. Kyogo was, what, 4 million or something, yeah, like that, and he's been an extraordinary signing. So I don't mind taking these so-called gambles on players that might not work out, regardless of fee, because it's not my money at the end of the day, but it's the length of time it takes to ascertain whether these guys are going to be good enough and still having them in the team for such a long time. And it's like Liam Scales playing for Celtic, what, 2 years after he signed is, to me, unforgivable. I know it's out of necessity, but that guy, even in an emergency, we talk about having guys who are good for backup and all that, but what happens when they have to play?
Yeah, that.
Exactly. Even in an emergency, that guy is so a complete fish out of water in that Celtic team. He's nowhere near the required standards. It's not his fault. He just looked completely lost.
Are you telling me
we
could not have offloaded Liam Scales before now? I don't believe it for a minute.
No, that's what I mean.
Our transfer business is slower than David Turnbull's thought processes. I don't know what's slower at Celtic.
It's my whole point. It's the length of time it has taken to work out that Liam Scales isn't worth having at this football club, and they should have just parted ways in the summer. By all accounts, I don't know if Aberdeen can afford them. That's the other problem with being Celtic, is that we pay these guys too much.
Is that the problem? But because we've got McCarthy, Soro, Ayeti, all there. Who wants these guys?
Yeah. We'd ruin it for ourselves probably by paying them so much money. Hatate's a question as well, because Hatate caught some heat midweek by, you know, being disloyal to his employer for saying, basically, or his agents were saying, it wasn't as harsh as the headline made out as it often does. Basically, Hatate's position is, look, I'm not signing a new contract, but let's see what happens in this window.
I'm not rejecting a new contract, yes, but if you could take it off the table so I could get on with my day and not sign that contract.
If you just put that there, are you going to sign it? Put it there, and you don't move it, and I won't move it, and then I'll come back here on Monday, and if that's there and there's a pen beside it, then I'll write it, but before then I'm not going to touch it. But it's unthinkable in a window we do you lose Starfelt, Jota, and Hatate.
I know. Yeah, there was bids for O'Reilly during the week as well. Bologna are supposedly sniffing around.
Okay, you want to see? I know every Celtic player's got their value, but again, plenty of money. We don't need it. You want to see who comes in for you in the window? Okay, we'll let you do that. Just let you know, we won't be accepting any bids.
Yeah,
but you don't have to sign the contract if you don't want to. Plenty of time on it, but we're no selling Hatate.
No, it's not at this stage. I mean, the idea that we'd lose Hatate, again, what we were saying earlier on about the likelihood of us getting the required quality in at this stage of the window with 3 days or whatever it is, by the time this goes out, 3 and a bit days to go until it slams shut, the idea that we're going to address all of the problems is extremely unlikely for me, almost impossible. The idea that we would add another enormous problem to ourselves on top of that by getting rid of Hatate or O'Reilly is completely unthinkable. So we can close that. There are no outgoings now at all that are anywhere near bothering the top 5 or 6 most important players in the team.
Unthinkable.
We can't afford to lose any more of those. Get rid of 10 for all I care, but none of those guys who are of value can go. Not at this stage. It's impossible now.
The problem we've got is we've got the Champions League, we've got Rangers coming up, right? So it's amazing to me how quickly our promises and how much hope, Brendan Rodgers is going to come, big transfer kitty, you're looking at goalkeeper, you're looking at left back, you're looking at midfielder, winger, striker, you know, we're talking about 5 players straight into that first team.
All out assault on the Champions
all
League.
All out, replace Jota, we've got mega bucks in for Jota, we've got mega bucks sitting there anyway, and then all of a sudden we've got, as you say, by the time you listen to this, 3 or 4 days, and we're going, we could probably do without a keeper, we could probably do without this. If the transfer window, Melly, let's play a little game here, if the transfer window goes, don't take the piss, if the transfer window goes as well as you hope it will, right? So don't say 7 new players.
Right.
Realistically, what's your lineup for Ibrox? Because mine is, no obstacle to this, mine is, we're probably Joe Hutton. I'm already compromising that because I would have wanted a new keeper in, right? Yeah. Left back, so there's another debut. Centre back that we've bring in, because there's another debut. It's unthinkable that we play any of these guys.
I think if we don't sign a centre half this week, we'll as good as lose, to be honest. I think we will desperately struggle. We get... gubbed there the last time. Granted, it didn't mean much, so it didn't really mean anything, but there's always the pride of the derby and all that stuff, right, if you want to apply that to it. But the last one did not go well at all.
That was Andrew's fault.
Yeah, that was Andrew's fault. He checked out, he was working his ticket. But that team wasn't the strongest imaginable, but it still had Starfelt. It still had a proven defender in there. And regardless of what you think of Starfelt, like, careful what you wish for, because this is what we look like without him and Carter Vickers now. If we don't want to get a centre-half in this week, it's an emergency for me.
So, right back, we're going to have Alistair Johnson returning just from injury, right? So there's it. Midfield, we're going to have Callum McGregor, obviously, who's in a bad bit of form, and we'll talk about him next. Matt Riley, who's been fine, to be honest. He's been absolutely fine under Brendan Rodgers. David Turnbull? Unthinkable for me. So you need another signing in there, right? So there's, what, potentially three more debuts. For me, Yang... I liked him, looked really positive. I think he's got a lot to offer. We've said that. Great young player. And for me, it was a no-brainer. He starts ahead of Abada. But I don't think there's any doubt that we're going to sign another player there. We're working on one just now with Palma. So there's another debut for you. Kyogo and someone on the left-hand or the right-hand side. So you're looking at Ibrox going potentially four debuts and you're probably playing David Turnbull. Insane.
Yeah, Turnbull can't play for me. I don't know. Do we then bring in home to sit alongside McGregor? Do we bring in Awata to sit alongside McGregor?
To me, that makes
McGregor?
More sense. To me, sorry to talk over you, but to me, that makes more sense because McGregor's fine. You don't need to make too many changes there, do you? Because home looks quite comfortable in that six. Awata, in effect, plays that role. That's what he was brought in for. That's how he described himself. Callum McGregor can play anywhere in the midfield, and Matt O'Riley in that wee spot he takes up is getting on fine. So you just take Turnbull out, move McGregor up one, and you've got a free space there, and you've got two signings who can accommodate in that free space. You don't have to do too much there. That's what makes sense to me.
Yeah, I still don't know if Hatate's got any chance of making it, but if he has, then he has to play, because what Celtic are lacking right now is creativity, and we know Abada and Maeda don't do that. We know David Turnbull's not that type of player, and for Kyogo, we're looking for players to make chances for him. We didn't quite do that at the weekend, but I still think that Celtic got into decent positions where we got down the wide area as well. We cut it back, but there wasn't enough players making runs or finishing their chances. Matt O'Riley's one. We get 19 corners. Yes, 19 corners, and didn't threaten the goalkeeper once. So we need to improve on that. But even if we do improve on all that, I don't think it will be enough for the weekend. We need massive improvements. We need four guys. Aye, a left back. Unfortunately, we do need a centre-half. Plans change because of injuries, so just deal with it, Celtic. We need a left-back, a centre-half, probably a midfielder and Palmer, and just chuck them in. Because do you know what? It can't be worse than what's going to happen. I'm not thinking that Rangers are a brilliant team, but at the same time, I think Celtic are really going to struggle this weekend. But see, be honest, I thought Celtic would lose this game anyway at the start of the season. I think that's what's going to happen. Rangers will win their two home games, Celtic will win their two home games, and then it's a fight between how they do the rest of the games. But what we can't have is an absolute drubbing. And look, we could be sitting here, it's pretty painful now, we're looking like it's going to be bleak, but we could be sitting here this time next week, couple of signings in that look good, and look what happened a couple of years ago. Neil Lennon went to Ibrox, looked like Celtic were absolutely toiling, came away with a victory, and Celtic season kicked on. So it's up to Celtic what they do now.
It's amazing, Stephen, like four podcasts later, but we're now, Melly's going, oh, we probably won't win Ibrox. We've just brought in Brendan Rodgers, who we're all raving about. We sold Jota for 25 million. We've got so much money, we don't know what to do with it, but we're already adjusting our expectations. Why? Because we don't have the players in we need.
We need a hero for Ibrox, and you did. We all agree we need a new left back.
Johnny?
Kind of interesting, Johnny. He's only 36. There's still life. There's still life in the
Brendan
old boy.
Rodgers was
left.
Praising him a couple of weeks ago.
Still, he said he was a brilliant player for Celtic. I respectfully disagree on that, Brendan. Ibrox, rather, it feels a little bit uneasy at the moment. It feels like it could be a potential horror show because the defence... Again, look, I don't want to seem like I'm being completely negative about what's been going on just now, but the defence is, the state it's in at the moment with the nature of the injuries, with the concentration of the number of injuries that we've got in the same position, it could potentially set us back a good bit. I don't want to use the words like season derailing. I think I said that after the game in our reaction that we recorded immediately after the game on Saturday, but that's because I just watched Liam Scales running around under the ball, heading it into people's paths and creating chances for the opposition. So I said that the loss of Carter Vickers and Navrotsky at the same time, and Welsh and Kobayashi, how does any team recover from that? But we have got a huge game on the horizon. One of those one of those ones where it could set the tone until we get that back. And I know after that game, we go into a international break and all that, and you know what it can do for the morale of the fans and all that. The team's different. I mean, the manager's job is there to make sure that that doesn't get out of hand, but it's going to make for an uncomfortable start to the season. If we're out of the cup, drawn at home to the bottom of the table, and then losing to Ibrox, I think it's going to make for a bit of an uneasy time for the fans, because there's already unrest. There's already visible, notable unrest. There was boos at full time. Whoever it's aimed at doesn't really matter, because all it does is it illustrates that the fans aren't happy about something or other. Whether it's just an element that Brendan Rodgers is back and we're not going to take to it again. I'm not going to say that that's wrong, because
I'm not sure how much it is that. I think you're always going to get this.
Yeah.
You're always going to get this. And the only difference Brendan Rodgers makes is he just doesn't have as much a honeymoon period as maybe another manager would.
No, probably not. But I think that there's maybe a little bit of sort of lasting. The Brendan Rodgers thing has sort of exacerbated that old feeling maybe from a few years ago, where we could feel things were going off the rails for months, right? And I'm not making the direct comparison with the COVID season, because I think that's silly after just a couple of bad results. But I think maybe subconsciously or as a reflex, we can feel when things don't feel right and we get angry about it immediately, because we found out that few seasons ago that what happens if we don't make our voices heard, they don't care, they just let it roll on.
But for me, I don't tend to jump on these big sort of conspiracy theories about the club. Don't tend to do it. I don't buy into it. I just don't think there's like, oh, these guys are trying to derail the club for the inside, some mad Machiavellian plot, right? I don't think it's that case, but I'm just reminded, like, this whole Brendan Rodgers thing, right? Remember how dragged out it was, like, before he actually done the deal? Like, the rumours were sitting about for ages. And then there was, like, it was revealed maybe that he signed on the Friday, but he didn't get the interview to the following Thursday. Remember, there was, like, that big period of dragging it out. And everything's just been so weird. Yeah. It's just been so weird. It's not been, bang, Brendan's back, bang, big signing to go a long way, I'm another signing. The hits keep coming. Every week we're dropping another.
Nope.
Do you know what I mean? It's low-key arrival with Brendan Rodgers. They go away, do the oversee thing, really low key as far as the club output was concerned. It was most of it by the play, not a lot of background stuff. Anthony did put out was all reminiscing and, oh, it feels like home and all that weird tone they were trying to strike. And then we start, then the performances don't come, and then we're getting injuries, and you're just like, this could all be mitigated if you were just more
proactive.
Yeah. If you were just more about it with the manager and people would be more bought in and we could see what was happening. And the whole thing's just been blah. It's just been bland. It's been boring.
We've lost Jota,
and we're waiting weeks to replace him.
Jota was a great player as well, but a massive personality, huge fan's favourite, and he's just gone and hasn't really been addressed. We're back to playing James Forrest and all that.
You need to switch it on. As much as people don't want to believe it, there's a brand with Celtic. There's an atmosphere about the place. There's all these things plug into what Celtic is, and transfers are a massive part of it. And it's just, again, transfers and results are huge, and we're not getting either at the moment.
No, and no man is. See, even if Celtic had have beaten St Johnstone at the weekend, and look, it wasn't the best performance, we'd still be going, we need players.
Yeah.
And Brendan Rodgers doesn't come back here after leaving because he thought he brought the club so far to go, do you know what? Let's just do it all again. Let's just wait too long, and I'll just wait for players. He's obviously had assurances, been given assurances, and said, I want this to happen. And it's not happened, because nobody's going to go into looking to go into a game against Rangers with this squad. Yes, the centre-half injuries can't be helped, but looking around the team, there's still work to be done, and I just don't get why we do it. And again, look, you may think I'm changing my expectations, but I just think we need to get through the next week. This time next week, everything will be clearer. We'll know who we've got in the Champions League. We'll know what our squad's like. And we'll know where we stand going into the international break. And then after that, that's when things will start to settle down, hopefully. But what can't happen is we can't go to Ibrox and get absolutely pumped. We need to go there and try and... Look, going 2 points behind us early in the season's no the worst. If we had won all our games and then they beat us in the first game, they go 3 points clear of us. It's still not easily brought back, but there's still plenty of time. And I don't think Rangers are going to go on a winning run where they'll win the next 30 games or whatever. So Celtic need to stay in touch here. But we need to try and summon something here and summon a performance from somewhere, because under Ange, we get beat off Rangers early on and we thought, do you know what? They scored from a set piece. We cannot go there and take a drubbing, because that will push them on and then it will take, it could derail us. But at the same time, we could go there and win. Rangers could go out the Champions League this week as well. Things can change in an instant. Celtic aren't playing well, but Rangers aren't in great shakes either. Not to say they'll not come good, but they keep changing their starting lineup. This guy starts. So they can be got at, but when you've got Liam Scales in your team, you're going to let in a goal or two.
It's not undoable for Celtic. It's not completely done. I think
silly to be in this position.
It is silly. And for what it's worth, I do think we'll do it. I don't think it's out with the realms of possibility that Celtic are capable of bringing in four or five players this week. I don't think it's out with the realms of possibility. In the absolute best case,
Adidas Friday, are you calling it?
I stopped myself there because for the life of me, I can't think of a good reason why transfers took so long. So I was going to try and placate the viewers and listeners by saying, do you know what, maybe we'll be working on some really special deals. And they just, I'm not even going to insult your intelligence with that. I don't even believe it. So I'm not going to try and make you believe it to make me feel better.
Well, all is not lost here. You're right to say that these, as much as I said, it's very unlikely we get all the deals done that we need in the next few days. I think that's borderline impossible to address all of the problems, but that's not how transfer windows work anyway. You don't fix all of the problems in one go, because come January, there will be different issues. There will be different players who have played themselves out of form or maybe look to move on, guys who are wanting out of the club. Haksabanovic has been in the news recently, right? He's been chatting shit on Instagram and all that, which I'm not particularly
all
interested
up in his grill.
So what I would say about Haksabanovic before I move on is that...
Cry more.
I can't be bothered with this social media stuff. It's all very tiresome. Home has been at it this season as well, but he has been trying when he comes on. He has been trying to make
there
things
must
happen.
Be more to that, though, because this is the second manager that doesn't fancy him for starting games.
Probably. But he, if anyone, he has looked the most likely of any of the subs that have come on in the last couple of games to make something happen. He hasn't achieved anything, but at least
I personally think there's an element of I'll show you to that.
Regardless of his motives, that he is at least trying in these games.
We liked him, didn't we?
Yeah, definitely. But it looks like his time's up.
A year he's been here.
That's another one. It rolls into the same chat I was having earlier about the length of time it takes to work out that these guys aren't good enough. I mean, a year's fine, but that's it. We draw the line with Haksabanovic and Bernabe and Turnbull now, who's significantly longer than a year. But all is not lost. These things could all get fixed in the next week, or some of it could be addressed in the next week. Could get good players in between now and Friday night. We could do a job at Ibrox. It doesn't feel like it just now, and that's a crap position to be in.
Sound right? More convincing, Stephen.
It doesn't feel like it just now, and it's not because I think they're world beaters at all. They haven't impressed me at all from what I've seen of them, but Celtic don't have a defence. They simply don't have a defence, and how do we get wins without a defence? It just seems very unlikely.
Joe Hart will need to have the game of his life.
Yeah. I mean, he has been good
how many times has Carter Vickers been an absolute rock for us, especially in games like that?
I'm worried about him. It's a discussion for another time, but I'm worried about how long he's been out and then come back, played a game and a half, and now he's got another long-term injury. First one was an operation, then he's come back, and now he's got another significant injury. I'm starting to get concerned about that. But overall, the club, the manager, the players need to get a grip of this soon, right? Yeah. They need to just get a grip of what's going wrong. Whatever it is that feels weird about the club to the fans, from the fans' perspective, let's get it fixed somehow, because Brendan Rodgers has not... We assumed that Brendan Rodgers came back to Celtic because, probably for the right reasons. I mean, he claims that he turned down jobs in England, turned down Saudi Arabia, and he came to Celtic for what we assume, is the right reasons.
Those Burberry belts cost a pretty penny. Lose it. Immediately.
The belt's got to go.
I don't care who get... There's people out there... Just let me put you in the picture, Brendan, right, from man to man here. There's people out there, Brendan, who think the B on that belt stands for Brendan.
Brodge.
Honestly, why is he wearing a Brendan belt is what people think. So it's a Burberry belt,
it's
we know it.
A Bentley belt.
Yeah. Basda, right? So... let me finish my address to the manager. Get rid of it, Stephen.
Yes, right. So get a grip every day, right? What we assumed was Brendan Rodgers was coming back to this club because he'd been made promises about his transfer budget and the running of the club. That's all the things we said when Brendan Rodgers was confirmed as a manager, that things are going to be better this time around. He is now in a position now where if this goes off the rails any further, if we lose at Ibrox and we take a tanking in the Champions League, because again, we'll talk about that when it comes, but Carter Vickers potentially being missing for at least half of a Champions League group stage, nightmarish, nightmarish stuff, right? So if we have a disaster in the Champions League and this season doesn't go well, he is playing with his reputation, he's playing with his career.
Yeah.
Now, if he doesn't do well this season after coming back to Celtic, he's finished. He will never get another job in England if he fails up here. So he will end up in Saudi Arabia if it goes badly for him. So again, this is all very dramatic and it's still very early days. But what I said up front is my belief here. Everybody needs to get a grip of this, arrest this, whatever this is. I can't put my finger on it. I can't quite articulate it. But there's something not quite right about the recruitment, about the playing style, about the manager, about the general atmosphere, about the fan unrest. Fix it, whatever it is, and let's get on with this season.
As I've been saying all summer long, doing your transfer business, leaving it to last week of the window, is a choice. It's a choice Celtic make. They decide this is how they want to do the transfer business, and this is what happens. And as you say, it's the gamble is on some very, very important games, and the gamble is getting the players when you need them, and the gamble is Brendan Rodgers' reputation and the Champions League and all that stuff. Massive month for Celtic, massive week for Celtic. Next time we have one of these out, we'll have played Rangers, we'll have been in the Champions League draw, we'll know who our Champions League opponents are. If you want to get some 20-minute Tim's reaction to all of that sort of stuff, pre-game and post-game at the Rangers and Champions League reaction, patreon.com/20minutetims. You will have seen at the beginning, we are sponsored by The Celtic Story. They have a gala opening night. There's still tickets available. All proceeds go to the Celtic Foundation. That's on Thursday, the
31st, yeah.
31st. Check out their website for more details. But most of all, thanks for watching and listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.